word choice is by no means the only way the media have skewed our understanding of the current humanitarian crisis. Repeated focus on some aspects of the human displacement at the expense of others, and some wrong basic assumptions underlying reporting, have perpetuated a variety of myths and misunderstandings. Doug Saunders, international affairs columnist for Canada's The Globe and Mail, says that false narratives about migration to Europe not only cloud our understanding, they also have dangerous implications for asylum seekers themselves. One major myth? That the West is bearing the brunt of the current crisis.
There's, I think, an image that Europe is being flooded. These countries, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, are emptying themselves of people and that they're all coming to the West.
A stream of migrants from the Middle East flooding into the European nations that are struggling to keep up with the influx.
This human tide of desperation is now cresting across the borders of Europe.
In fact, the proportion who are looking to go to Europe or North America are minuscule. The vast majority of people forced to leave their homes by the Syrian conflict that's been going on since 2011 are displaced within Syria and will never leave Syria. More than twice the number of people who are refugees are the people who are so-called internally displaced persons. And of the 4 million or so people who do have to leave the country, almost all of them are just outside the borders of Syria in absolutely huge camps of hundreds of thousands of people in Turkey, in Jordan, in Lebanon. Then you have a tiny group, fewer than 10% of the total population, who do seek international refuge. Those don't tend to be the people who were in the camps. It's not as if the hundreds of thousands of people in the refugee camps are then getting on boats across the Mediterranean. It tends to be a very different group of people who have the economic means to pay $3,000 per person to make the boat or foot crossing. It's in the hundreds of thousands. It is one of the largest groups of international refugees that we've seen in recent decades. But generally speaking, the West is only taking a tiny, tiny sample. It's not as if the entire population of Syria is trying to move to the West.
Nor is it necessarily that once finding refuge, either in Turkey or in Jordan or in Germany, that all of these people intend to stay there indefinitely.
I'm really curious to see how this migrant picture changes the long-term employment situation in many of these countries.
And Merkel said just a few days ago, this will change Germany permanently.
Refugees, and particularly these refugees, don't generally tend to become permanent immigrants. A very large plurality and probably majority of these people are going to return to Syria. They tend to be people who are not fleeing poverty. They're fleeing a disruption of their lives caused by war. They have property. They often have small businesses and investments and opportunities back in the region. Assuming the war does not go on for decades and decades and decades, a large proportion will return. Of the 2.2 million Bosnians who fled their country during that conflict in the 1990s, by some measures, all but about 300,000 ended up returning. So we have to keep in mind that it's an emergency crisis, probably temporary. Remember, the wars in Serbia and Croatia and Bosnia and Kosovo seemed to be interminable as well, and it did eventually end up dying down and people moved back. So people prefer to move back and forth when they have the opportunity. They only become permanent when those opportunities to move back and forth are blocked.
We have come away with the notion that this exodus is taking place largely at sea.
This is the extraordinary scene every morning, boat after boat of migrants and refugees coming ashore. These ones having rowed all the way from Turkey.
This is one of three boats, and as you can see, this is absolutely crammed. It's meant to hold 15 people. There must be 40 on this one.
It's not just happening at sea, and there are periods when there are more people coming over by means other than sea. In 2015, we have the explosion of this foot route across the Western Balkans and across Greece and Hungary and so on, a couple different foot routes, which also involve smugglers, which at least during some months of this year have exceeded all the boat routes combined in numbers. And when you talk to officials in countries like Germany, they say that the people arriving by foot across the Balkans are a bigger concern for them now than the people coming by boat from Libya across to the islands off of Italy.
Some countries, notably the reactionary government of Hungary, have put every impediment in place that they can, including walls, to keep migrants from settling there or even passing through on their way to Western Europe.
Hungary is still erecting a fence along its border and has vowed to take tougher measures by mid-September.
So you have people like David Cameron saying, we'll send the economic migrants back home.
Now we have countries like Macedonia putting up walls, Hungary putting up walls to keep them out.
Does that reduce the overall flow of refugees?
We've generally seen that attempts to physically block or turn back immigrants have not reduced the numbers. They've increased the danger. The most egregious example of that we saw was on the Mediterranean boat crossing route, where until 2014, the European Union had had a program run by the Italian government called Mare Nostrum, which was designed to rescue people on these dangerous boats. And rescue by nature, it meant taking them to the shores of Europe and processing them. And this became controversial. And they said, instead of rescuing them and bringing them to Europe, let's try to send them back. What ended up happening was that the number of migrants crossing didn't decrease. In fact, you actually saw a slight increase in the number of people crossing this way. But what did increase was the number of people dying at sea, which in fact increased 50-fold. These are people who put a big family investment into this or taking a big risk, and simply trying to physically block them at the end of the journey is not only probably not going to work, but could end up costing a lot of lives. Hungary is particularly being unfriendly about this. And it's a particularly dark irony, given that the first big wave of non-Western refugees in the post-war period were the Hungarians. And many Western countries like the United States and Canada settled hundreds of thousands of people fleeing Hungary as refugees. And that memory has almost been lost by the current government of Hungary.
As you've looked at the coverage to date, is there any particular repeated error that just simply makes you wince?
It's the notion that we're going to be flooded by these people and that they're going to overwhelm us. We've seen so many groups come into the West before who have been controversial. We've said they're not going to assimilate, that we can't handle them, and we've handled them just fine. The Vietnamese, many people felt that either they were going to contain communist insurgents or that they were by nature unassimilable. Nevertheless, they settled fine. The refugees from Bosnia and Kosovo in the 1990s, they were Muslim. They were from what seemed to be an alien civilization to many people. They were settled quickly, and they became an uncontroversial group of people in the cities and regions where they settled. But still, we seem to be returning in many countries and many people's voices to a view that we thought had died out, which is that refugees are a threat, that they're going to contain dangerous people.
There are fears that jihadists could be hidden among the migrants.
How many boat people and others who seem to be economically motivated are actually terrorists?
The Prime Minister of Hungary saying there's a clear link between migrants heading to Europe and the rising terror threat there.
I mean, keep in mind, the Syrians are mostly fleeing the group known as Islamic State or ISIS. Yet still, we see headlines that they're going to contain large numbers of terrorists and extremists and all this sort of thing. Remember, this is a group of people whose numbers are dwarfed by our general immigration numbers anyway, and who are not going to last forever. So we need to step back and say, okay, we've done this before. It's worked out fine. This is not going to be permanent. It's not going to be overwhelming. Let's help these people and let them get back on their feet. They can benefit our countries, we can help theirs, and it'll be over at a certain point.
Doug, thank you so much.
Pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Doug Saunders is international affairs columnist for Canada's The Globe and Mail and author of the book Arrival City, which examines migrant neighborhoods in 20 places around the world. Coming up, more myth-busting, this time about migration on this side of the Atlantic. This is On the Media.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.